What is up, Dolphin fans? Technical difficulties. We apologize for the lateness. TD will be here, and so will Alan Poupart. It's not just the, you know, me and Omar Tua Tagovailoa show. It's not a
comfy bedside chat. It is night for me over here.
Yeah, exactly. That's why we're, if anyone's wondering, hey, why are you guys at one? It's because Omar's 6 hours ahead of us. So it's like, it's seven something right now for him over in Madrid.
I didn't want to do the show at midnight. Exactly. On a Friday night. Sorry.
Gonna shout out our sponsors real quick, starting with SeatGeek. If you're in, I don't know if they're international, SeatGeek, but you go check them out. Use the promo code FINS. You get $20 off your first order, whether it's concerts, shows, all that good stuff, millions of downloads. Go check them out, as well as our other sponsor, which is Brunt. Brunt is a fantastic. Oh, we're good. I think we got all the boys back. There we go. Just the boys are back in town. Just doing some Brunt advertisement, talking about how good the Brunt product is. Use the promo code HMA. You get $10 off, as well as Sleeper, which we will be talking about in a little bit, talking about the more or less on Sleeper. Use the promo code HMA. You get 100% up to $100. You can check us out on the podcast formats. And also, if you want to become a member, hit the join button next to the subscribe button. You get a ton of cool perks. So, first and foremost, Omar, how is it over in Madrid? How is your experience so far? You've been there since Tuesday, so you kind of got acclimated. How is it there?
I would say the biggest challenge is getting acclimated to the time change. But your body circadian rhythm gets used to it being night. I think probably maybe I go to bed a little bit earlier than I would usually, like maybe, I don't know, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock. But it's raining for the last 2 days. It was warm initially and now it's cold. The facilities that the Dolphins have access to, that probably is the biggest change that I've seen. I've been to the London game twice. I didn't go to Germany, but I heard complaints about Germany in terms of the facilities, the access, where they practice, things of that nature. In London, I mean, they're on the smallest little practice field of a soccer stadium that you could even find. I don't even know if that would be a professional soccer stadium. It's about the size of Traz Powell, if you know Traz Powell. This stadium, they are Atletico Madrid. Atletico Madrid, which is one of the major soccer teams, along with Real Madrid. They're the rival team. They're big time. The stadium is big time. It's basically up here. It's like the Nets and the Yankees. Gotcha. It's the Mets and the Yankees. So, you know, they've got a rivalry, and you can't be a fan of one. You know, can't be a fan of both. It's crazy. I mean, this people joked that I didn't never give it any consideration. Football is football to me, but you know, in the world, there's American football, and that's how they view it, and that's how they term it, because they have a real football, you know, the one that actually is played with the foot. So, like, I don't know why I've never really thought about it or considered it. Like, your game, the game that we know, the sport that we like, you know, that we think is so grand, the $16 billion sport, it's secondary to real football. So they term it American football.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, we're the outsiders when it comes to actual football. We're going to jump into this. We'll first start with Champ Kelly. Champ Kelly sat down and talked with the media for the first time now becoming the interim head coach, said some very interesting things. We're going to go back to Omar Kelly because he was the one who actually got to sit down and talk to him. One of the things I thought was most interesting is, and we talked about this before we went live, is how he had a grading system on all of the players, or essentially, you know, what their worth is, and talked about, you know, if we didn't hit that worth, we were going to trade them. And you know, we know the rumors of Jalen Waddle, the first in 2027 and third this upcoming draft. What else did you really pick up from what Champ Kelly had to say today?
Really, it was about, you know, he doesn't necessarily, he knows the situation here. He's not expecting to become the full-time GM. You know, he is, what are you nodding your head yes for?
I think he will, personally, but okay.
Yeah, I mean,
of course, he's not expecting it. He's not going to say that he's expecting it, but you're.
Yeah, I mean, I think if this team turns around the season and shows that they've got life, shows that they're, you know, I'm not saying produce a winning record or qualify for the playoffs. I know that's going to upset some people, but I mean, I talked about it. I wrote about it in a column I just put up. If you look at this season, there's been 3 blowout losses, 2 impressive wins, and 4 fourth quarter collapses. Like, that's the season. Well, you know, you got to learn how to win. He said all kinds of things about tough physical, the team that he'd like to build. He said that this would be, you know, that you cannot build a team in free agency. It's not sustainable because of how expensive players become, which, you know, we all know that. He talked about, you know, his background is analytics. He's analytic driven. I said he's a cornerback by trade. And one thing that he learned at that position, if you're even, they're leaving. And his approach is to get ahead of the game from an analytics standpoint. Now, I'm, you know, y'all know how I am with analytics. I'm just like, you know. And
I'm with you, Omar. I'm with you, Omar. Seriously.
Yeah, it's and to me, that's the one thing that I think that I find the most interesting is I know Steve Ross has an obsession with analytics and sports science. Like a lot of his companies in sports industry are analytics and sports science driven. Poupard, do you remember those watches that used to track the player's sleep? That they used to conveniently forget and leave. Like the Dolphins had watches before Apple Watches came out. That literally the watches would snitch on the players by telling the team how many hours they were sleeping, when they went to sleep, and things like that. And the players were mandated to wear the watch. And somehow they just all forgot their watches or lost their watches. And that was a Steve Ross company. But you know, it's, you know, the analytical part, I feel a little bit uncomfortable, but I can see why Steve Ross was attracted to him. Now, the one question that he didn't really answer, even though I asked, was who hired you? And that's a major question that I do have because, and as I told you guys before, I've never seen him and Chris Greer talk. I've never seen them interact. But he did say, I did not take this job thinking that I was potentially going to be Chris Greer's successor. I thought I was just, or Chris Greer's replacement. I thought I was just going to come here and add what I bring to the team in terms of talent evaluation. So that's where we are, man.
He replaced, now that I think about it, he replaced Reggie McKenzie. Like the, he was, yeah. Who was a senior personal executive or what assistant? No, senior personal executive is the title. So no, I wouldn't think it would be a Chris Greer hire in any way, shape, or form. But that's a good question you ask. How did he dance around it?
No. I think he took the question in terms of who put me in this position. And he said, Steve Ross put me in this position and he chose me for these reasons. But really, I was asking, yo, who hired you? Did they just hire you and like put you in there? And one of the things I did find interesting is that he basically said, I'm in a particularly unique position in this role because I'm an outsider who came in. So I have fresh eyes, fresh perspective. And honestly speaking, that's probably what's needed around here the most.
Yeah.
And whew, because you know, as you all know, I feel like this thing need to be cleansed from the rooter to the tooter. Just
we got to get merch made, man. The sayings we have here.
Dirty bastards. Yeah, exactly.
we gotta get some merch made. Alan, can I just
clarify my point just very clearly? So it's not, so I'm on the record correctly here. When I did the thumbs down on analytics, it's not that I dismiss analytics entirely. I do not like the over-reliance on it, because to me, more than any other sport, intangibles play a big role in football. And if we don't think that emotion and desperation level didn't play a part in the Dolphins beating Buffalo the way they did, more so than, oh, we realize if we run to our left 37% of the time, the Bills are not going to defend properly, I think we're kidding ourselves. And TD, by all means, go ahead and disagree.
I agree and disagree. So, okay. All right. No. I would have to. I didn't see the interview or hear it, by the way. So I'm walking into that blind. But I would have to hear how he delivered that he's an analytical guy, because based off of my research and how I view him and what I've seen so far, I don't see him being an analytical guy as far as what you're explaining, Alan. I think I'm hearing the analytical, which I love, by the way, and I'm like, sign him now, by the way. Analytics as in probability versus possibility, okay? Not stats, but probability. It's right from
stats, though. That's
Yeah. But again, but not make, not, I'm not talking about X's and O's. I'm talking about signing players, the possibility versus probability. Like Tua Tagovailoa, the probability was so low, but we went with the possibility. As far as the re-signing, his next contract, whether that was a good move, the probability was low. The possibility, man, but if, no, and an analytical guy is going to go with the probability, and we would have never went into that long-term deal. We would have played the fifth-year option. So that's what I mean from a statistical standpoint, not the X's and O's, but the decision-making within the front office and what they do. We got to stop going off of possibility, because a lot of times that's driven off of feeling and emotion. Probability. We need a probability guy, somebody who's going to make decisions based on the probabilities. And we go against the probabilities all the time in Miami. Decisions we make are based off of a hunch, their feeling, and, you know, their gut feeling. Ah, man, you could be a lot more sound in this game going off of probability. So that's what I get from him, and I like that.
I feel you on that one, because it's not necessarily a money ball situation. It's more of like you said, let's use Tua as an example. One season of staying healthy versus how many of not, it's taking that in. Or, you know, James Daniels, what are the odds that he stays, you know, I'm
exactly,
it's I like that versus, you know, the percentage of the game itself analytically. Yeah, I like that. I like that thought process. But Alan, I want to ask you, and then we'll get to the next topic. With the moves that were made that we found out of the parting of ways and some of the veterans in that front office, do you think that bodes well for Champ Kelly, being that he is a new guy?
And TD just said his piece and he disappeared.
Oops, sorry. I got you.
Oh, now I'm returning. You ask me a question and you eliminate me. Yeah, I just predicted not long ago. I think Champ Kelly was brought in from the outside to give a fresh look at the Dolphins operation, and if it went south, to possibly see what he could provide in terms of input in fixing it. And then Adam Engroff and Anthony Hunt, both of whom had been with the Dolphins before Chris Greer arrived in 2000, that's the old guard as well. So they want fresh eyes on it. Doesn't get much fresher than Champ Kelly, who's got a good background on top of it. And I think, again, unless the season goes off the rails down the stretch, why wouldn't Steve Ross be willing to give him, okay, let's see what you can do over the course of a full year, along with McDaniel and along with Tua. I'm not saying that's what he should do. I'm saying that's what it's lining up as. Those that trifecta, okay, show us what you can do in 2026. after which you would, the Dolphins can painlessly get out of Tua's contract finally, and then McDaniel will have no other, will have exhausted, you know, all of his lifelines basically.
So let me ask you this question, Pupar, because you have been hammering this for a couple of weeks now, and I'm not saying that your theory does not have some validity to it.
Okay.
Especially when you know who Steve Ross is, which is he does not like this process.
Correct. Yes.
And would desperately like to avoid it, because it's hard. Mm. But what do they have to do in these final seven games that would make you buy in to this organization as a fan base? What would make you believe that Mike McDaniel, Tua Tagovailoa, and maybe Anthony Weaver and Champ Bailey can actually deliver what we want around here? What do they have to do to make you believe that? What do they have to do?
Well, I can tell you, spanking the Bills was a good start.
Okay.
And I'm not even saying. I haven't really studied
quality win for Tua, by the way. I'd like that to be noted on the record.
Hey, Omar, I don't think they're gonna end up above 500, but keep them.
What'd you say?
Absolutely. if they pull off another win like that, if they're even in the games they lose, if they're Omar, I mean, you asked me a question. I'm just
telling
you.
Yeah, I know, but okay, it's give
not
me
fun.
A record.
It's not fun getting pieces, man, when you're in the middle of a conversation.
Here's the other part of it, Omar, and you know this. In 2023, what did the Dolphins do? The Dolphins told themselves, if it's not, and then you were kind of driving the same narrative, if not for all the injuries at the end of the year, holy smokes, the things we could have accomplished. So
he got you on that one.
I mean, I'm wrong. And then before 2024, even though they had not won a playoff game, still it was like contract extension, contract extension, contract extension. Are you telling me you don't believe that there could be a conversation? Look how close we came to beating New England. Look how close we became to beating the Bills in week three. Carolina, we should have won. The Chargers should have won. If only we make the play here and there, and the fact that we came so close to having those wins, maybe we run it back. And next year we do make those plays and we have a great record.
That's so much delusion, though. I mean, think about it. Receiving core trash.
Have we not never seen delusion from this organization?
True, fair. That's fair.
Omar knows delusion.
Receiving core trash. Shots at Omar today.
Offensive line trash. Defense for the majority of the first half of the season. Yes, they played well in two of the last three games. Yep. Trash. Secondary trash. Pass rushing trash.
Hold on. Time out. Again, there is some reason that can be done. Yet the defensive line was trash early on because you were playing two rookie draft picks, and they've gotten progressively better. Offensive line trash. Yeah, because Jonah is experiencing growing pains. You still believe? I'm just telling you the rationale that can come.
There were so many other draft picks who would play better than the worst offensive guard in the NFL.
Come on, man. Leave my guy alone. Come on.
We're starting offensive guard in the NFL.
Okay, but again,
let's preference something real quick. This isn't what Allen wants or thinks. This is what he's assuming the front office is thinking. Because, you know, I could see it, even though logically, I'm pretty sure all four of us can sit here and say, if you go back-to-back years of going 2-6, you should be fired. Right. So I'm pretty sure we're all in that logistics, but Allen is trying to give you the front office perspective where they can use those excuses they did.
I've seen the show before. That's why it's like,
who is the front office? Who is the person that needs to see this?
Stephen Ross, Brandon Shore. Those are your three main guys right now. Totally at the top.
Oh my gosh, if they are evaluating this team to wonder if they're going to continue down this path, we are in trouble. We are in trouble. Like, it's over. Like, can we just get everything new? Can we just buy everything new? Just don't, please.
You realistically think that's going to happen, TD?
I know, but please, hope so.
Okay, let me get your perspective, guys. Doug and TD, what in these final seven games does this regime have to do to say, you know what, let's run it back?
They got to make the playoffs. They got it. That's the only way, in my mind, as a fan, you can justify bringing back Mike McDaniel. He has, because we've seen this before with Mike McDaniel, and we've seen this before with Brian Flores, where they went on a tear after starting like crap, but both of them didn't make the playoffs. And I don't want another year of that. So, you know, I understand some think that 2026 is a punted year, but I, for me as a fan, you know, the Bills win was fantastic. It means nothing at the end of the spectrum. It really means nothing. So they have to make the playoffs.
Well, for me, I will throw a wrench in here, Omar. They already are going to run it back.
Mm.
But not for, let's see if we can make it work this time. No, man, we got to eat a whole bunch of cap.
Mm.
We got to get through a whole season of bringing some new guys in and letting them develop.
Well, it's one
That's
player.
What it's going to be.
Hold on. Look, if we're going to rebuild it with somebody who's going to be here for a sustainable time. Don't do it with, we're wasting time. Mm-hmm. You're not young, Steve. You're not a young man. You don't have all these years in your life to rebuild this organization. Do it fresh one time. Stop doing it. This piece here, that piece there. Let me leave this over here. Let me eat some leftovers. I don't get it.
Well, Omar, it's the situation we're in, though. It's not like we don't owe anybody money next year and we could just do it fresh. We're in debt. We have debt. So we have to get our
credit. I told you about that credit card bill. It was going to be due eventually.
Yeah, whoa, so we gotta pay.
The cap is not real. Mister, the cap is not real.
You got them Houdat coins, and you keep borrowing from contracts, and you keep putting in void years in deals, and you keep borrowing from Chubb and from Jalen and from Jalen and from Jalen and eventually
spelled with a W.
But ultimately, you know, all of those things and. I have lectured the fan base about all those things for years. And yeah, you're going to pay the penance for it for one season and then be able to redo everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the ultimate disaster you have as an organization is you draft poorly.
Yeah.
Obviously, because you're going to set yourself up for failure again if you continue this poor drafting. But hey, the guy who drafts isn't here, so we got to be fair to whoever's going to be the new guy next year.
Why not? So since we're all in kind of the same mentality that, you know, there's one contract that's really, you know, hindering this team, why not bring in a new GM?
Yeah.
Why not have him pick the head coach?
That's one contract. That's $54 million. There's 200 and something. 200 and. How many millions left?
He's the one you can't move. Tyreek Hill's going to be.
Yeah, 36.3 million. But why not have the new GM find his coach and then, as an owner, say to those two guys, you get a year of no expectations. Fix this. You have the year to fix it. I don't expect a winning team this year. You have a year to fix it. You have a year to fix the cap. And, you know, 2027, you'll go get your quarterback if you need to. Just
there's your reason right there.
Like, I don't, that's what they should do. Like,
see, facts over feelings. See, they done grew a little soft heart from Mike McDaniel.
Yes,
Stephen Ross, beautiful story, great guy. You know, good, has turned his life into being a great man. You know, they feel, and now that's playing a role. Good people, you want good people, even if they're not the most effective, you want good people, and I have a problem with that. This is some of it's how feelings over facts, man.
Yeah.
Relationships.
Let's real quick get into one of our sponsors. That is Sleeper. I want to talk about this game. Whoop! I lost one of you. There it is. That's what happens
cutting
when
me out, man.
That's what happens.
You see how it automatically just cuts you out.
God damn. go check out Sleeper. Fantastic. Now, I noticed something while I was doing my preview video earlier today, recorded it last night, and it made me laugh so hard, right? So Marcus Mariota 201.5 passing yards, you know, more or less. I said more, you know, I expect, you know, blah, blah, blah. But the thing that made me laugh, and I want your guys' reaction to this, because this is from Sleeper. So you have Zach Ertz receiving yards, Marcus Mariota passing yards. You know, normally with the quarterbacks, you get passing yards. The only more or less for our quarterback Tua Tagovailoa is...
Oh, we don't reach the new low. You got to be kidding me, Doug. Please don't tell me interceptions on there.
Is how many?
Interceptions. That's it. They don't have passing yards. They don't have touchdowns. They have half an interception for Tua Tagovailoa, more or less. That is it. They don't...
Half of interceptions? So is this one of their promos where they lower the number?
What? How bad is that? That the Dolphins, that Tua throws so many interceptions that Sleeper now, go check him out, fantasy app, felt fun as hell, makes you laugh. That's his only, more or less, is half an interception. And I'm taking
right,
the
right
more.
Now. I think they're going to throw and introduce some more.
Yeah. Check me, me and TD's live stream because we'll recap it. But well, I just think that's hilarious.
Well, Doug, this is an to me, it's an opportunity. And not to throw shade at Tua, but we remember the last game. He's being instructed to chuck the ball down there three times a game. So you might want to take that over if this is the direct
free money.
I'm just saying. You know who's going to pick him off, right? It's going to be Noah Benigni.
You stop right now.
I forgot he was on the Commanders.
No. Did they re-sign him or something? Because
he's on the Commanders.
Yeah.
Noah,
I know he was last year.
Poupard, you know this for a fact.
What's that?
Who picked on Noah Igbinoghi more than anybody else on the Dolphins team? In practices.
I don't remember.
Tua Tagovailoa.
He did. I don't remember.
Tua targeted Noah consistently.
Yeah, it was covering Tyreek Hill or Jalen Waddle, one of the two.
But he went after Noah more than anybody else.
Well, Noah's ready for it now because he's seen it. See, there you go.
Yeah.
By the way, that defense is garbage. And did you know, I just saw this actually earlier before the show started, Washington has lost four straight games by 20 or more points. And I believe, if I saw correctly, that the NFL record is five straight that they can tie. 1986 wow. Tampa Bay Bucks lost five straight games by 20 or more. Oh, and I got another and a great tidbit for you guys. This is really good. Last time the Dolphins played Washington, 2023. You all remember?
Mm-hmm.
Ron Rivera is the head coach. Before the Dolphins game, he fires his defensive coordinator, takes over as defensive coordinator. This year, Dan Quinn demoted his defensive coordinator. Takes over as defensive coordinator.
Did we win? I don't remember.
Yeah, we won big on that game.
45-14.
Yeah, Howell was trying his best. But, yeah, that was a messy game, too.
They stuck a rookie safety in the slot on, like, the third Dolphin snap on offense in the slot against Tyreek Hill one-on-one. And Tyreek just sprinted by him like he wasn't there. Like, three yards into the rut, he's like, two up.
Mm-hmm.
78-yard touchdown pass.
Yeah, and it's funny, too, because not only is Noah Igbinoghi on the Commanders, so is Laremy Tunsil. So is Robbie Chosen.
So is River Craycraft.
Yeah.
Is Tunsil back? Because he was Michael hurt. Dieter.
Yeah, he's back. Tunsil's back.
Wow. Michael Dieter. Chase Edmonds.
It's going to be interesting.
Ghost of Flores.
Oh, my God. Chase Edmonds?
Chase Edmonds, running back.
Question for this game. We'll talk about this game real quick. Now that it seems like Rasul Douglas is going to be healthy, will they put Juju Brents at the?
I don't know about that.
No.
But go ahead. Continue your question because it's a good question.
Well, let's say okay. So let's say because Juju Brents played fantastic, so there's no need to rush Rasul Douglas. So I'll rephrase it. When Rasul Douglas is healthy, will they take Juju Brents and Jack Jones, and then finally put Minka back at safety? Is that a rotation that we could see? Maybe take Jack Jones and put him in the slot and have Juju be on the boundary with Rasul?
I think they want, Minka says he wants to play the slot, which...
Okay. You know, good for him.
Dante Trader is the future's free safety.
Okay.
So that's his spot. Rasul, I don't think it's all the way healthy,
mm-hmm.
but I do believe that this regime or this period in their season, they are trying to figure out what they have. Mm-hmm. And at this point, you better figure out. That's one thing. Greg Dulcich and Juju Brents, those are two guys who have emerged recently. And we're like, oh, okay, there's something here. This point in the year or this season should be about discovering who could potentially play and who could potentially help you. No, Poupard?
No, not yet. It's not yet. You're not a mathematical.
Hey, Allen, they could be, you know, Allen, at the end of it loss. All, they could be.
Allen, you waiting on that one more loss?
I am waiting on the X next to the team. That's when you start.
Hey, that's one more loss.
It's very faint, but I can see it. I can see it. It's very faint. You start to write and the ink isn't working? That's what it looks like. It's very faint. Talking about this game, let's give our predictions. I'll start off, and if my jinxes work, then I'm sorry, we're probably going to lose this game because I have the Dolphins winning this game 24-14. The last two big wins, I had them losing by double digits. This one, I have them winning by double digits. I just think, you know, with all the injuries and everything that Washington's going through, I think the Dolphins somehow are the better team, and I think they win this one, which is funny because this is why when the schedule comes out and people do record predictions, I always say, just do it for fun. Don't take it seriously. Remember the gauntlet and how Washington and Madrid, oh my God, we got to face Jaden Daniels, and oh my God, it's the same thing like last year when we had to face the Browns and the 49ers. Injuries will change a team.
I say it all the time, and nobody ever listens to me about that.
Well, acknowledge that we lucked out.
Omar wasn't listening. What'd you say?
Yeah.
Acknowledge that we lucked out then.
It happens every year. Every year,
And everybody's playing Miami without Tyreek Hill. Like,
and Doug, here's the other thing too, though. Sorry, Omar. Then, yes, it's silly to do like before the season game by game predictions. Do you have any idea how popular those are with fans?
I still do them, and that's why you always put that asterisk that this is fun. Yeah. Don't take it too seriously, even though people are like, "You said we win 10 games if Tua stayed healthy." I said, "If the team stays healthy." But anyway, Omar, what's your thoughts on this game?
I like the Mariota Tua matchup. Mm. This is a guy that, even though they're not playing each other, Tua's always aspired to be. Always, that was who he looked up to. I think he'll want to show out. Not only that, but I really do believe that they have found the recipe for how to practice and how to work and how to study, a formula that works for them. It has been a long journey and a painful journey to get there. What you saw against the Baltimore Ravens was a hiccup because they could not operate in that space because of the Thursday night game. But then when they got back to it, you saw them spank the Buffalo Bills. Why? How? Nobody has a clue. I still sit in the minority position of thinking that this team is better than they played most of the season. Now, are they a good team? No. But what you?
Yeah, they are better than they played. I'm with you.
I mean, they look like trash, but they are.
Not always.
Yeah, I mean, not always. You're right. Not always. I think Tua will get back to being efficient, and I think the Dolphins will win 28-24.
Okay, Alan.
Yeah, no. The point I was making is no. They had good stretches against New England, against Buffalo in Week 3. They had some good stretches against the Chargers. They've shown at times to be a good team. They just haven't been very consistent. And they've been operational issues throughout the season. Those weren't there against Buffalo, and that made a big difference. They also weren't missing tackles. And I'm losing my voice here because, I don't know, going through puberty or something. Washington's just not a very good team right now. They've lost 5 in a row, 4 by 20 points or more, as I just indicated. My only concern, and yes, I'm a believer in that, is the Dolphins having a letdown. How can you have a letdown when you're 3-7? Because you just beat Buffalo in a game that had a lot at stake, considering it was the first game. First of all, you hadn't beaten Buffalo in seven tries, and you also was the first game after you fired your GM and kept Mike McDaniel. So the possibility of a letdown to me is a little bit worrisome. I still think the Dolphins that would, could cause a slow start, but I think the Dolphins will overcome it and win by double digits.
TD?
I agree with the double digits. I got Miami 37-10. Yeah, I think we're going off in this one. We're going to give Madrid a nice little show. And that'll be good. Stephen Ross will really enjoy that. But, yeah, I think that we dominate. This team is dysfunctional. They got a lot of guys replacing other guys, filling in spots that aren't good enough either. When you don't have your starting quarterback and you're going with a backup, again, them getting in their rhythm and them getting used to what they're doing, doesn't have the full plethora of the playbook probably. So I think we're playing good football. I look for A-Chain to have another big game, Waddle to get 2 to 3 big catches, and business as usual. Defense to actually have a lot of fun, though, in this one. I think they'll get up and at it, and just like Buffalo, I think it'll be a similar game to Buffalo, but they won't be able to produce as much. Remember, Buffalo was still moving down the field. They just kept blowing it at the end, turning the football over. So I know it looks like, oh, our defense showed up. Yeah, if they didn't turn that football over, it could have easily been a different story. But with the Commanders, they're not going to be driving like Buffalo was. I just don't see it. I think we'll get up and at it. We'll have a lot of fun. Mike McDaniel will have another one of those sideline performances where him and Weaver's chest bumping and everything's all good. And now, you know, hey, have the Dolphins finally found the, you know, man, come on, man. We know this story, and it just has to play out. We got 3 more weeks of this.
Pretty much.
Three? What?
Huh? Three. Yeah. Well, you can't lose on the bye, so everybody going to be happy. And then you play the Saints?
Hey,
and Saints beat the Panthers. Who's after that, the Bengals?
No, Jets.
The Jets. Oh. So, yeah, we got 3 weeks. Listen, we're going to be on a high. We're going to be like, oh, man, we 6-7, something like that. So,
And then we go face the Steelers Monday night, and then –
In Pittsburgh, cold weather.
It's been cold up here, too. It's been cold up here.
Let me back up. The Jets on the road in cold weather, too.
It's been cold up here. I'm telling you. It's.
Oh, man. So, yeah. So, we got about 2.5 weeks of this. So, we'll see.
To the beat writers, do the Dolphins, being that they have a bye next week, are players going to stay in Madrid? And kind of, so they're going back. Like, there's no like vacation. They're going back with the team.
Didn't they leave early though? Get down there early. Yeah.
So did Washington.
They left.
I think they probably lived it out. I think the NFL has learned exactly how to play these international games, which are, they're going to be more and more international games, as you saw, and you know, Tom, I think all of us read in the ESPN article.
So they're gonna have a permanent 9:30 slot.
they're gonna have a permanent home in a Spanish-speaking country. This is quite impressive. I'm not a huge fan of Madrid, but this facilities are quite impressive. And if you can come, that was the biggest thing about London. They didn't have all of the facilities and access and things like that, but they've eventually over time, because I think some like players have, this is their third trip for guys like Zach Sealer. And so what what Bradley Chubb said is, you know, we've learned now, we bring our physical therapists and our masseuses and our people that we need to get us ready for game day, which to me is just crazy, but you know, that's just reality.
It's also the third one for Tua, the third one for Jalen Waddle. Europe game. So, and also, Doug, I understand that the NFLPA mandates, I believe it's 4 days off on the bye, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So,
gotcha.
It's already a very light week for them.
Before we get into the donations and stuff, I do want to touch base on that with Tom Garfinkel coming out and essentially saying that they would like to be more predominant in those Spanish countries. Which is good for enterprising the Miami Dolphins, exactly, for the cheddar. But you're going to lose home games.
And I don't necessarily know if it's financially beneficial, because I think the article addressed the fact that this is not.
It could be big time financial. No, bro, like the more you go, the more young people say, "Hey, oh, that's my team. That's my team."
So but you're not gonna. But you got to share. You got to share all the international profits from with everybody else in the league, whereas you don't have to share your profits from your home game.
Well, merch so, and all of that.
Merch. You sure about that with the merch?
Yeah. You know, I don't really care about the business of this stuff. So you're probably right. I don't know. But I read the article, and the article came across like it's not going to be – he's like, we got to think long term. It's not going to be an immediate return financially.
Oh, yeah.
But if you honestly think that this is not financial related, I mean, seriously, really?
NFL financially beneficial?
Come on, how many things does Steve Ross do that's not financially beneficial?
Thank you. That's my point. I mean,
no, my point is he does a lot of things that's not financially beneficial.
Are you serious?
Yes, I am.
There's a short-term investment that pays off in the long run. Yeah. Like some money he puts in there, like builds up equity and makes his assets even more valuable. Let's be honest here.
Okay, that's fair. If you're thinking long term and them having a big international brand, making them more valuable for when he eventually sells.
But doesn't he get ticket sales?
No, they have to share the international games ticket sales. All 32 teams share it.
No. I'm not talking about that. So the more you go overseas and you become a presence, the more people will be a fan of your team. You're competing for an international fan base, but these people would also, when they become fans, eventually, maybe once a year, travel to the U.S. to go see a Miami Dolphins home game.
Okay, that's not going in Steve Ross's pocket.
I thought the ticket sales for each.
Ticket sales, yes, but they're probably gonna. Those fans are gonna buy tickets from some season ticket holder, just like Bills fans buy tickets from season
Salky or something like holders. That. Use the promo code Fins.
Deserves this.
It's going to be interesting, especially because next year we lose a home game. This year it was 9-8.
Yep.
Next year is going to be 8-9. Which again, it didn't matter because we're playing in Madrid, so we lost the home game. So,
and the reality is, I think you have a smaller inventory; it makes it more in demand.
That's
my personal opinion.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Jason laughed at our title go on a run. Haha, no.
four in a row would be on a run. And then
would get them to seven. They would
They would get them. You don't know what that is, do you, Omar?
That's seven.
Yeah, it's a saying. Just be happy you don't know what it is. Every time I talk about the record that we could have if we beat the Commanders and beat the Saints and beat the Jets, my chat, my comment section just fills up with 6-7.
Not only that, the
record would be.
Ask your daughter, Omar.
Yeah. Huh?
Ask your daughter.
Omar, dictionary.com word of the year. Did you know that?
It's not even a word, it's a number.
Yeah, 6-7.
Look it up. I'm telling you, dictionary.com, 6-7.
Yeah, text your son. He'll know. Victor becoming a member. Shout out to you, Victor. Appreciate you, bud. Chief E with the tenor says, I know there are rules about talking H2 via CJS during the season. What about if other teams staff?
I think he's asking about talking to the head coaches in the season. What about other teams' staff, like scouts and assistant GMs?
Gotcha.
If they're under contract, you can't talk to them until after the season.
Yeah. Or I think it's like during the playoffs.
There's like a window, and I don't know.
Yeah, I've read it, and I'm still confused.
Yeah, I don't even know how it started, if I'm being honest with you. It just started, and then people were saying it. And I'm like, it's two numbers. I don't understand how. It's
My teenage son brought it to my attention. He wouldn't stop doing it and finding it funny. So
it's so dumb. We're all old. Chief E, also with the tour, said, does Omar consider a hot dog a sandwich?
Technically, I believe sandwiches are made of cold meat. So I do not put hamburgers and hot dogs in a sandwich.
Peanut butter and jelly is a sandwich, Omar.
Roast beef sandwich.
But it, that that requires
pastrami.
I don't know. Peanut butter and jelly.
Hot dog's a hot dog.
Let's just bread got to break. The bread got to break. Got to be two pieces of bread.
Okay, so a hamburger is a sandwich?
That's right.
No.
It's a beef sandwich. We just call it a hamburger.
I used to define it by it needs condiments, and hot dogs use condiments, and so does hamburgers. So, yeah.
See, to me, like a taco is a taco, a hot dog's a hot dog. Like it's just they are what they are. We're starting this whole debate. Somebody said meatballs.
Yeah.
Something between two bases.
There you go. Micaiah with the 20 said, love the show and all y'all's content. Dyslexic Doug, yeah, with names Omar, Football Encyclopedia Doug, and TD.
TD the Troll.
Can we get a joint game stream? Obviously, everyone can't, but as many of you guys as possible would be dope. Love. That's hilarious. And we all have our little trophy.
Thank you, Micaiah.
We can do it in the playoffs.
Playoffs. Oh, you mean other teams' games? Yeah.
Yeah.
Omar will be available because the Dolphins are there. Oh, man.
Too funny. Garb Gump with the tour says, going to pull a 1990. Spins up.
I'm gonna look up this 1990 team since
Omar, they were 12-4.
Karen with the tour says Omar watching at 1 a.m. show at Tootsie's with Dancer Icon.
Hey Omar, Madrid got Tootsie's franchise?
I have absolutely no idea.
I don't know.
There's discotecas and I'll probably explore them tonight.
Have you been going out?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah.
Watch out, man. They got my boy Skyler, man.
That was Ireland. That was Ireland, TD.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Watch out. They got my boy Skyler.
Oh, you're talking about, yeah, the pickpockets, the robbers. Yeah. I'm broke.
OJ with the tour says, cold meats, pause. I also got a super chat sticker from Miami Vibes. Appreciate you. Yeah, it's like, is water wet? Like there's all these like sayings out there that people try to. So I'm at the age now where I'm just like, I don't care. I just don't care.
Is water wet?
Man. Yeah, that's one of them. Is water wet? No, water gets you wet. Pause on that. Hello.
You're correct, though.
We can't say anything anymore without fear of it being clipped. Talk about sex and all this other stuff.
Judgy bastards.
Yeah.
Omar, how long are you staying there for? Are you leaving when the team leaves?
No, I'm going to Barcelona afterwards.
Nice.
I'll be here for some extended time. Yeah, I'm taking a bye. I took some days off.
Okay. Omar, yes. Yeah. Okay.
I'm seeing Spain. I'm here. I might as well see Spain.
Yeah, I just can't leave. I can't leave the country. Yeah,
that's what you get when you get warrants. I'm just saying.
Don't go be well wild, man.
Man, when a man looking for you, can't leave the country.
Oh man.
Axie with the fiver says, too bad for the playoffs, too good to tank for Mendoza. Things don't change, rinse and repeat. That's football hell, and that's why that's where we are.
Let me chime in here. There was a story, national story today, based on off of scouts. I think it was an ESPN story, basically saying, chillax, everybody. There's like no quarterback in this entire class who's worth like going gaga over, including Fernando Mendoza.
Yeah, it's funny that you say that because I didn't know the story. Send it to me when you do get it.
Yeah, send it in the group.
I've heard recently from like two of my friends in the scouting community, and they just wanted to talk about quarterbacks, and they're like, "Yeah, all this hype about Mendoza, like we don't view him like that." And now the Lenore Sellers is transferring to Miami and quit on the season, and
oh, that's official.
That's all the scuttlebutt.
Well, I don't know if how official it is, but it's, you know, come on, where there's smoke, there's fire, and UM is like
yeah, NIL man.
The UM is like, hey, if you could be here by bowl time, we might be able to get you.
And find a way to muck it up again.
Yeah,
it's too funny. And is it Moore going back?
That's the word.
Yeah, somebody say he's going back.
Yeah, but was anybody really high on Drake May when he got drafted?
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. Really? They were high on
him? Yes. There were some folks who had him as the number one quarterback in the class.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yes. I didn't scout him. Okay.
And Omar, are you a believer yet or still no? Still no?
I didn't see yesterday's game. Like, bro, it's very
hard.
You can't
judge against that Jets defense. That man.
I didn't see yesterday's game. I didn't see a highlight. We're in a different world where they don't give two farts about America.
I was in Spain a couple summers ago, I get you. He made a couple of throws. I don't care who the defense is, where he's rolling and he's throwing dimes. I mean, that dude's a baller. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying he's not good or not, but like, his receivers are so open a good 90% of the time. It's like, really want to see what May can do, you got to watch like the Tampa Bay game or like the Buffalo game in Buffalo. Yeah. You can't really go off of this Jets team. They're so bad, especially when you trade Sauce Gardner. It's like you can't really.
Did they take him to overtime though? Because
no, it's 27-14.
Okay, 27. Oh. I was trying to follow on Twitter, and it's like I couldn't figure out who won the game.
It was like slow motion, like business for the Patriots and the Jets trying to survive. That's how you sum it up. That's Justin all it was. Business for the Patriots, Jets just trying to make it something. Yeah, Mac Hollins dropped that 60-yard bomb too. Well, it got knocked out his hand. Yeah.
And then who the new guy that the Jets got kept dropping passes to?
Yeah, I saw that. I saw the drop clip for him. Yeah, and it was like he dropped like four or five passes.
Drop it like it's hot. Did you ever see the Ted Ginn montage? Drop it like it's hot. Drop it like it's hot.
Oh wow.
Hey,
shout out to TV again with the tenor. Says, will the Dolphins ever hold a game in a place like Colombia or Puerto Rico due to Miami's demographics, especially with the Bad Bunny halftime show?
Not Puerto Rico, but Colombia is in their territory. it just has to have the right kind of venue. Has to have the right kind of venue, facilities, like the facilities that they have at Atletico Madrid. Mm. I mean, it's a real state-of-the-art stuff, so... And hot tubs, cold tubs, sauna, steam rooms, massage areas, like that. That's really what they need. And the NFL has come a long ways from when they first went to London in 2007.
Do the European teams pay the NFL for them to play there? Or is it like a mutual, like we'll spread out, like you said, we'll spread the money to the European teams and to the NFL.
It's funny because these teams, like Washington is practicing where Real Madrid is, and Miami is practicing where Atletico Madrid is. And understand, this is all new stuff to me here. And so both teams have adapted the teams as practicing in their facilities. So the Dolphins have the Atletico Madrid fans, and the Washington Commanders have the Real Madrid, you know, and they're the superior team. They're the Yankees, and the Dolphins are over here. They're the Mets, and so it's interesting. But the one thing I will say about being over here, I am stunned how many Dolphins and Commanders fans are here, like in gear every day, like in the city, walking around restaurants, just out and about. There are tons of Dolphin fans here.
That's a nice and trip too.
It, considering how bad the team has played this season, I think there was one woman who came up to me at breakfast this morning, and she goes, it's all to his fault. And I was like,
oh, wow. Ooh, you made it, man. You made it.
And like, world, European accent. And I was just like, yeah, okay. This is crazy.
The world knows, Omar, when you don't know.
A lot of my subscribers are over in Europe. I got a good portion of European subscribers. So, yeah, there's a big following over there.
Yep. Yeah. The Dolphins have a big European brand because of the Dan Marino era.
Yes, yes.
That Dan Marino was like on TV every week.
That's why a lot of Dolphin fans, especially up where I live in Jersey, are my age that are still suffering. It's because I was born in 87, so I really got to see Marino in his prime when I was like 5 or 6. And that's when all became Dolphin fans, was because of Marino. So, yeah.
So, quick question, y'all give me y'all take on this, because the NFL obviously having success overseas and expanding. If they do expand, do you think that a team, they would expand the 32 teams more, or will they relocate a team?
No, I think that the NFL is back. Couple years ago, my second trip to London, they were talking about expansion and building. I think what they're trying to do here is what soccer or FIFA or whoever has done in America, which is just grow their audience bigger and their revenue stream bigger and bigger and bigger. Because there's $1 billion over here to get.
But we have soccer teams here now, though.
That's
not good ones. Not good ones. Nobody cares about those.
Yeah,
teams.
But that's typical.
I'm being real with you.
What happened to NFL Europe? It used to be our like farming system.
Yeah, you're right. NFL Europe used to be this farming system, and good players like Brent Grimes played in NFL Europe. They have actually football teams here. And a backup that used to be in Miami a couple years ago. Yeah, Reed Sinnott is playing for one of the teams here. And Tua's brother is playing in Europe. Apparently. Oh, wow. I did not know that.
I thought he was in Canada.
No, he's in the Arena League. He's in the Arena League, actually, is what Tua said.
Arena League?
He played in the CFL. He played in Germany. And now he's in the Arena League, according to Tua.
Okay. So you
Omar didn't hear you, TD. Say it louder.
No, I ain't gonna repeat it.
Greg donated $10. Come on, TD. He says some fans are saying Juju Brent is a savior, pumped the brakes. He had a good game and showed that there is something to work with there. Let's see it translate game to game now.
Indianapolis Riders basically said, yeah, he'll flash and then he'll get hurt.
So that's why we grabbed them. Chris Greer dropped an egg before he left. He was like, here's another one of my prizes. I'm going to get out of here. I'll see you guys later. That's hilarious.
So he's apparently kind of injury prone, but he looked good to me.
Just going to be more consistent. Makai with the fiver says, my bad, TD. I was short on character count. Let's go with time will tell Miss TDO. Miami Dolphins Cleo. LOL. Miss Cleo,
there you go.
Time always tells.
Buckster.
You guys even know who Miss Cleo was?
Yeah, all of me.
Good, good.
Fake Jamaican.
She was. You gotta watch the documentary on her.
Aaron Johnson from Chicago, right? Probably was.
Yeah, you gotta watch that documentary. It's very interesting. Buckster with the €5. As a UK fan for 20 plus years, if the Dolphins aren't here, does it matter if they win or lose in the season? I will be in full Dolphins get up all week.
Nice.
Feel ya on that one. But we are going to get out of here. Shout out to Omar for going, making the trip, hanging out with us 6 hours in the future. He's a time traveler. Be sure to tell us who wins tomorrow. Go check him out. Check out his article that he just dropped on Champ Kelly. He got to sit down. Well, not one-on-one, but Champ Kelly was talking, and he dropped his article on the Miami Herald. Go check him out. Also, Alan Poupart dropped some fantastic articles over on the Miami Dolphins on SI. Go check him out. TDFinstalk, YouTube.com/TDFinstalk, and the AFC's Roundtable and Roundtable Sports. And you can check me on YouTube.com/DougLeeDurong. I just broke 54,000 subscribers. I appreciate all of you guys for going over subscribing. Let's get this to 10,000. We're at 9,520. Hit the subscribe button. We will see you Tuesday at 7:30. Maybe not all of us, but you will see us Tuesday, 7:30, maybe with a win. But other than that, we are out. See you next time.